Hello and welcome to Habemus Papam, episode 25, St. Dionysius.
Dear brothers and sisters, annuntio vobis.
Annuntio vobis.
Annuntio vobis gaudium magnum.
Gaudium magnum.
Gaudium magnum.
Habemus Papam.
Hey everyone, when we last checked in on our heroes, the church in Rome was in the middle of the persecution of the Emperor Valerian. St. Cyprian of Carthage, St. Sixtus II, and St. Lawrence all suffered martyrdom along with thousands of others. And because of the intensity of the persecution, the Christians were really unable to get together to elect a successor to St. Sixtus II, and the See of Rome remained vacant for about a year. In 259, St. Dionysius was elected finally the Bishop of Rome. And he had a difficult task. The Roman church was still reeling from the persecutions of Valerian. But in 260, things took a dramatic turn. Valerian was in the middle of a campaign against the Persian Empire under Shapur I, and he engaged his rival in battle in the city of Edessa, what's now southern Turkey. And the battle was an epic disaster, one of the largest military disasters in the history of the Roman Empire. The entire army was killed or captured, including Valerian himself, who was taken off to captivity in Persia. And accounts vary about what happened to him. Some said that he was used by Shapur as his footstool when mounting his horse. And many asserted that when he died, his body was stuffed and kept in the Persian court as this perpetual prisoner. Valerian was succeeded, he was still alive, but he wasn't in power. Valerian was succeeded by his son Gallienus, who was significantly more tolerant of the Christians. And this is probably wasn't any real sympathy, but rather because he just had so much more on his plate. This is the height of what historians call the third century crisis in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire itself was just falling apart. And Gallienus, he had no time to just hold everything together. He had to hold it all together with his bare hands, it seemed like. You know, someone would invade here and he had to rush off there. Someone invade over there, or there would be a rebellion over here and he had to rush over there. So by being tolerant to the Christians, it was just one less battle that he had to fight, and he desperately needed resources elsewhere. Eusebius reports that he issued a decree of toleration of Christians and even ordered the restoration of their churches and the catacombs. And so though he had a new political stability, Dionysius had to deal with doctrinal issues stemming around the heresy of Sabellianism. So if you remember from way back, St. Callistus excommunicated Sabellius for preaching modalism, which is a heresy which went too far in emphasizing the unity of the three persons of the Trinity. Now, the tricky thing with these heresies is that each one, it's easy to go too far on one side of the issue or another. So someone wants to respond to one heresy, they go way over, you know, over the bounds into another heresy. Now, in response to Sabellian growth in Egypt, the Bishop of Alexandria, who is confusingly for us also named Dionysius, had written a letter outlining what he thought to be the relationship between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But his language really lacked precision, and it seemed to go too far in the other direction, subordinating Jesus to God and separating them too much. So even though it's super confusing, because both of these men are called Dionysius, and both are actually have the technical title today of Pope, the Bishop of Alexandria, the Patriarch of Alexandria, who is the successor of St. Dionysius, is still today called the Pope. He's just Coptic now, a Coptic Egyptian Christian. So we need to circle back and talk a little bit about this other Dionysius, Dionysius of Alexandria, because he's actually just a really, really cool guy. He's just awesome. So Dionysius of Alexandria, who would later be called Dionysius the Great from several ancient sources. He was born around 190 AD. He was originally a pagan and he converted to Christianity, and he studied under the great church father Origen, who we've been hearing a little bit around, you know, in a lot of these episodes. Origen was a great church father in Alexandria who was the head of a great catechetical school in Alexandria, which he passed down to Dionysius. And Dionysius, after heading this school, then became the Patriarch of Alexandria. He suffered through several persecutions, some popular and some instigated by the government, but always guiding the flock in Alexandria and strengthening their courage. We heard a little bit about him a couple of episodes ago when we talked about the anti-pope Novatian. Dionysius of Alexandria advocated for St. Cornelius as the head of the church in Rome and the rightful pope. During the persecution of Valerian, he was exiled from Alexandria, but he was spared death and he returned in 260 to the city. And it's at this point that he wrote his letters against Sabellianism. His lack of theological precision is what seems to have, you know, caused the difficulty, and how he, you know, accidentally ended up on the opposite side of the issue. And that prompted some of his priests to write to Pope Dionysius of Rome for clarification. Now, the job of the church through all these early heresies has always been to deny what is clearly can't be true and leave the truth somewhere in the middle, because truth is important. You know, we hear about all these heresies in the early churches, and we think, why are they making such a big deal out of all this stuff? But the truth is important, because you cannot love something that's false. But truth and knowledge leads to a greater and deeper love, and God calls us to know the truth. So Pope Dionysius, he called a synod in Rome to deal with these issues, and he wrote a pastoral letter to Dionysius of Alexandria outlining the true faith. In the letter, he outlines what must be held by faith about God, concluding that we have to hold both that there is one God and three divine persons. He writes, "Neither then may we divide into three Godheads the wonderful and divine monad, nor disparage with the name of work the dignity and exceeding majesty of the Lord. But we must believe in God the Father Almighty, and in Christ Jesus his Son, and in the Holy Ghost, and hold that to the God of the universe the Word is united. First I, says he, and the Father are one, and I in the Father, and the Father in me. For thus both the divine triad and the holy preaching of the monarchy will be preserved." It's pretty simple, little archaic language, but he's basically saying what we've always held to be the truth. There are three people in one God. Receiving this letter from Dionysius of Rome, Dionysius of Alexandria immediately wrote two detailed and orthodox outlines of his faith in order to assure the other Dionysius that he was teaching the truth. And of note to us, he reportedly used the word homoousios, an English consubstantial, which you hear every week when we say the creed. He used this word in describing the relationship between the people of the Trinity. Not going to explain that whole debate right now, but you know that word is important. And it's something to remember for the future, especially for our episode on St. Sylvester I in a couple of weeks. So that's all we can really say about Pope St. Dionysius of Rome. He died in December of 268, and he was buried in the cemetery of St. Callistus, and he was succeeded by the 26th Bishop of Rome, St. Felix I. Thanks for listening to Habemus Papam. You can check out the rest of the Catholic Bites podcast at catholicbitespodcast.com, or find us on iTunes. There you can subscribe or leave us a review, and thank you, and God bless.